Turning your Bibles, please, to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 9. And in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1086, the 9th chapter of Luke. One verse only, the 23rd verse. We'll read that verse responsibly. We'll turn to yet another scripture after we read that. I'm going to stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Let's begin together, please. Ready? And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Turn now to Matthew 11, page 1011 in your Schofield Bible. And we'll read just three verses. Starting with the 28th verse, we'll read in unison through verse 30. And let's read. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And let's pray. Father, thank you. We have a place to meet, and we thank thee for that. We thank you for being saved. It's a wonderful privilege and joy to be called a child of thine. And we thank you for this particular place of meeting, the good old First Baptist Church of Hammond. Help us to realize, at least to some extent, our privilege, and we pray that you'd help us to realize the purpose for which we're gathered as well. And so meet with us, meet the needs of our hearts, and help us today as our preacher preaches to us to listen intently, to know that there's something here that will help if we'll pay attention, and so help us to do so. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm sure on occasion, some of you may think Brother Hiles is a little bit fussy because he wants you to listen carefully, because he wants no one to interfere with anyone else listening. But I know what you don't know. I know the heartaches of the people in this room. As I look around this morning, I just, everywhere I look, I see how people I know have broken hearts. I look back and saw Ms. Elgin Penley back there this morning, and it doesn't seem right for her not to be sitting beside her dear husband, who's in heaven. And I want to be a help, and a strength, and encouragement, and comfort. So please pay attention and help others pay attention near you, or give them the opportunity of doing so. I want to speak on the subject, take up thy cross daily. Take up thy cross daily, with heavy emphasis on the last word. Take up thy cross daily. I'll wait till I pray. Father, bless the study this morning, and bless our teaching and our preaching and our listening and our learning and our responding. And feed us from the blessed book today, in Jesus' name, amen. Let me read for you, without your turning to it, I'll read both the texts this morning. But I want to read for you the verses read a while ago. Now, here's where we make a mistake about the Bible. We think the Bible mainly is what we call in the Greek an aorist tense, which most of the New Testament is written in what we call the linear tense. Let me show you what I mean. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now that doesn't say, if you have a burden, come to Jesus. No, that's saying if you have a burden, and have a burden, and have a burden, you keep coming to Jesus, and keep coming to Jesus. Let me paraphrase it. Come unto me, and come unto me, and come unto me, and come unto me, all ye that labor, and labor, and labor, and labor, and are heavy laden, and heavy laden, and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, and I will give you rest, and I will give you rest, and I will give you rest. This is not talking about a circumstance, it's talking about a way of life. Now, again, it says, take my yoke upon you. Now, that doesn't mean, hey, here's the yoke, take it. No, it says, It means take my yoke and take my yoke and then take my yoke and take my yoke and learn of me and learn of me and learn of me and ye shall find rest and ye shall find rest and ye shall find rest. Our other text read a while ago is this one. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, now that again, it's linear, come after me, and keep on coming after me, and keep on coming after me. God isn't saying when you have a burden, come to him. He's saying, keep on coming to him all the time, daily, if you please, and come after me, then deny himself, and deny himself, and deny himself, and take up his cross daily, and follow me, and follow me, and follow me, and read another passage. There is no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, and will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, and will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it, that you may be able to bear it, that you may be able to bear it. I want to talk this morning, I want you to listen to me very carefully, on the subject, take up thy cross daily. Please listen carefully as I try to help you. Let me explain what I've been trying to say. I read about a boy who had a little calf. A teenage lad had a calf. The first day that he got the calf, he picked it up. And the next day, he picked it up. And the next day, he picked it up. And every day, he picked it up. Now, as the calf got bigger, he kept on picking it up and kept on picking it up. Until it was a full-grown steer, and the boy could still pick it up. Now, he could not have picked up that steer if he hadn't picked up the calf every day as the calf was growing. So he picked it up one day, and the next day, and the next day, and the calf kept on growing, and kept on growing, and kept on growing, until when it got to be a heavy animal, the boy could still pick it up. Now, if he had waited until the calf was grown, he could not have picked up the calf. But he was able to pick up the calf because every day he had picked the calf up for those many, many days. By the way, this is why young people are turning to rock culture today. This is why young people are committing suicide. This is why young people are taking dope and drinking liquor. You know why? Because they haven't had any burden to bear as young people. And the first burden they bear is a heavy burden, but they've not picked up a burden before, and they face the heavy burden first, and consequently, are you listening to me? Consequently, they're unable to bear the burden. You see, and this is why they turn to alcohol. This is why you have the rock culture and the narcotics and the suicides. They cannot carry the burdens of adulthood because they never had a cross to carry as a young person. You don't do your child a favor when your child has no burden to bear. You don't do your child a favor when your child is being reared on a bed of roses. People say oftentimes, I don't want my child to go through what I had to go through, then they'll not be able to take what you now take. Happy and fortunate is the child who has to bear the burden while he's young. And so, as a young person, you pick up your burden, and the next day, you pick up your burden, and the next day, and as it gets heavier and heavier, are you listening to me? Heavier and heavier and heavier, one day you can bear the heavy burdens of adulthood because you are in the habit of bearing burdens. So, Jesus said, take up your cross daily. When I was a kid, I had an uncle, Uncle Harvey. You've heard me talk of him often. Uncle Harvey was a multimillionaire. He had one son and two daughters. His son was named Rupert. Uncle Harvey made Rupert, though he was a multimillionaire, he made Rupert mow yards in the summertime. He made him make his own money. He didn't even give Rupert an allowance. So, of course, you spoil your kids rotten. Your kids, and by the way, your kids think you did them a favor. No, if you don't teach your kid to bear a burden, you're not doing them a favor at all. Uncle Harvey made Rupert throw a paper route. He made Rupert mow yards for a living. And I can recall Rupert coming in and saying, Dad, I thought you were rich. Uncle Harvey says, we have plenty to take care of. But, well, why have I got to mow yards? Uncle Harvey said, I'm trying to make a man out of you, son. And by the way, he did, and that man, young man became a successful businessman. Why? Because he did what the Bible says in Lamentations 3:27, it is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth.
Now notice, didn't say it's good for a youth that he bear the yoke in his youth. It's good for a man. When you become a man, it will have been good for you if you bore the yoke while you were young. And so while the calf is young, pick it up, and pick it up the next day, and pick it up the next day, that's one reason why we're not rearing in. That's why they've got to have a woman attorney general. I guess she's a woman. Somewhere in between. That's why we have a woman secretary of state. Every time I see a picture in the paper of all these heads of states, along with that, with a woman representing us, I want to puke. I'm sorry. I want to regurgitate. Now you listen to me. Our country is begging for men today, but we don't have any men because we do not make them bear the yoke while they're young. You young folks that have to work, you folks at Howard Henderson College have to work to help pay your tuition. Thank God you're picking up the yoke while you're young. And the Bible said it is good that a man be that he bear the yoke in his youth. Now you may not be glad while you're young, you're having to bear your yoke, but when you become a man, you're going to thank your dad one of these days, and you're going to thank your mom one of these days. And the simple truth is, we have a generation of people that can't face heartache. They can't face grief. They can't face tragedy. They're not hardworking. Why? That's exactly why. Because the first load they ever picked up is an adult load, and they've not picked up a cross daily, and they cannot face life. They cannot bear the burdens of life and the heartaches of life because they wait till they're adults to have the heartaches and burdens to face. If your big cross is the first one you bear, you cannot bear it. If your big burden is the first one you carry, you cannot carry it. If your big problem to solve is the first one you have to solve, then you cannot solve it. If your big heartache is the first one you face, then you cannot face it. I want to stand here this morning and say to you who are having it a little tough while you're young, praise God you're having it tough while you're young. We're rearing, I wish I had time and I never even take time. We're rearing a generation of namby-pamby boys that never have had a callus on their hands. They've never had a burden to bear. They've never had heartache. I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, while you're young, pick up your cross. Well, one of these days you're going to be older and it'll be too heavy for you to bear because if the first one you have to bear is a heavy one, you'll not be able to bear it. People ask me, how do you take it? Answer, I've been taking it 73 years. I could not bear the load or carry the load I carry if I had not picked up the calf while it was little. And picked up the calf every day. I could not bear the load. People ask me sometimes, preacher, how do you stand so strongly in the face of opposition? Because when I was a junior high boy, I was president of the senior class, and I was in junior high of 800 students. I was president of the senior class, and I was supposed to lead the conga line at the senior prom, but I refused to lead the conga line at the senior prom. And as you've heard me say before, Mrs. Kerr said, you've got to lead the conga line in the senior prom. And I said, I'm not going to lead the conga line in the senior prom. She said, the president of the senior class always leads the conga line in the senior prom. I said, this president is not going to lead the conga line in the senior prom. And she said, just why aren't you? And I said, because Jesus doesn't want me to. That's why. And that's one reason I can face the opposition I have today, because I learned to face opposition as a junior high lad. How do you face it? Because when I was a senior in high school, on our senior date, my date and the couple with whom we were double dating wanted to go to a movie, a drive-in movie that night. It was Sunday, and I wanted to go to church, and they took me home, and I went to church, and they went to the movie, and I called my date's mother and told her I was no longer responsible for her because on Sunday I wouldn't go to a movie, and they went to a movie, and they laughed at me and made fun of me. Now you listen carefully. You young preacher boys, if you can't take it on a bus route, you will not take it out yonder when you face the deacon board someday. If you can't take it while you're in college, you won't take it when you're standing behind the pulpit of a church. take for the house. How in the world do you stand strongly in the face of opposition? Tell you exactly. I've been doing it for years. I picked it up when it was a calf.
That's why. Didn't wait till it was grown. And I'm talking to a generation of people, young people. And I'm not just talking about the rock music crowd. I'm talking about some of you parents right now are rearing a bunch of spoiled brats. We start cheering them when they're 6 years old in Little League. When they ought to start cheering Dad when he's 60 years old for making a living for them. And we're rearing a bunch of spoiled brats.
But I just don't want my kids to have to...
By the way, if your kids ever have it tough, you trot in and blame us for it. Blame the principal, blame the teacher. What you ought to do is you ought to say, dear God, my kid one day has got to face reality. He's got to face battles. He's got to face opposition. He's got to bear burdens. He's got to bear grief. He's got to wear watches that break also. But he's got to wear grief. And so... I don't want my boy or my girl to bear a burden that they've got to bear on Sunday. And you hear me carefully. You wait till you're 25 years old and pick up your first burden. You'll crumble. That's what the insane asylums are full of. That's what the mental doctors are making their money on. And that's what the nervous breakdowns many of them are caused by. Because we have not picked up the burden and in our youth. People say, how do you stand so strong in the face of opposition? I've been doing it for years. When I, as a teenage boy, was the only softball pitcher we had. We're playing for the state championship, softball, fast pitch. That's back when men pitched fast pitch and girls pitched slow pitch. Back in the days when girls were not men and men were not girls. Like that enough at Bert. But anyway... I don't understand. You watch a girls' softball game, and boys, and watch this, boys. Watch a girl, and ball goes, psh, boys go, sissy. But we're playing for the state championship. And I was the only pitcher we had. And I found out the game was on Sunday night. And the manager of our team, a semi-professional softball team, manager of our team was a deacon in our church. And he said, Jack, we're playing for the championship on a Sunday night. And I said, his nickname was Pop. I said, Pop, I can't play on Sunday night. But he said, look, I'm the manager. I'm a deacon. He's the guy that should have been leading the way for me. And so I said, I'm sorry, I can't do it. I went to church that night, and the whole team was lined up out there in front. All of them are grown men. And they're cussing me, and they're confronting me. Listen, that's why I can be cussed in 2000 A.D., because I took my stand as a boy, and it's time you young people took your stand and picked up your load and picked up your cross daily. If you don't pick it up every day, when it becomes a steer, you can't pick it up. Brother Hiles, how do you keep from quitting? Don't you ever get discouraged? Sure, I get discouraged. Every time I look at Ron Moffin, I get discouraged. Sure, I get discouraged. Well, Brother House, why don't you quit? That's exactly why I don't quit. I didn't run when I was young. That's why some of you guys, Howells Henderson College fellows, I got to go out yonder in the pastorate, and your first little skirmish, you're going to fold your tent and go home. And the reason is, it's the first skirmish you've ever had. You know the reason I came here? The deacons didn't chase me off? Because 52 years ago, when I was 21-year-old young man, I was called to pastor the Grange Hall Baptist Church, same building out there. And the deacon chairman... he was 72. I thought he was ancient. Deacon chairman was one of the three men. Second was the treasurer. Third was the Sunday school superintendent. Met me one night about midnight at the Grange Hall Baptist Church in that very building out yonder. And they said, you've been called to pastor this church, but we voted against you.
and you're too young to pastor this church, and we'll see to it that you never walk in that pulpit.
Oh.
The next, I said, I don't want to pastor this church. I've been called to pastor the First Baptist Church in Leesburg, Texas by unanimous vote, and I don't want to pastor this church, but I said, if God leads me to pastor this church, Mr. Roberts, Mr. Hartzell, and Mr. Ballou, if God leads me to, it'll take more than you three fellows to keep me out of that pulpit. Now, I was picking up my burden at 21. As it got heavier and heavier and heavier, then it became the Southern Baptist Convention, and then the American Baptist Convention, and then the Independent Baptist Convention. Now, you listen carefully to me. Don't you run from your burden. Pick it up. Face it and pick it up daily. Because as you pick it up daily, as it grows heavier, you can carry a heavier load. But as it grows, if you don't pick it up and carry your own burden, one of these days it's going to get so heavy, you can't pick it up then. And that's why this country is going to the devil. It's because we're rearing a generation of softies that never had a tough day. You know what? Would you like to know what generation it was that won World War II for us? The Depression generation. Listen again. The Depression generation. The reason you sit here right now is because a bunch of 17, 18, 19-year-old kids back there in 1941, 42, 43, 44, and 45 were drafted by the United States Army, and none of them were draft dodgers, and none of them were queers in those days. And those men, those young boys, they brought Adolf Hitler and his mighty army of trained professional soldiers to their knees. And we stand today. Why? Because a generation of fellas were reared in their Depression days. They had to pick up their load, carry their burden. Thank God for burdens. Thank God for loads. Thank God for grief. Thank God for battles. Pick it up. Pick it up. People ask, Brother Hiles, why do you work so hard? I started at 10 years old, working hard. Paper outs. Service station, picking cotton, grocery store, mowing yards, laying oak floor, hanging drywall, putting on roof stone houses, putting on siding on houses, framing houses, laying subfloor on houses, selling magazines, mowing yards, all of that. Why? I picked it up. That's why I can work hard, and that's why our generation doesn't work hard. By the time our kids are 13, they got their own golf clubs. They got their own bowling ball with their names on it. We have cheered them all the way through grade school, junior high school. They've never had to play for anything. They've never had a load to carry. And so when they get old, all of a sudden, they have to face realities. And when you face realities, they've never picked up a load. I'll say it again. Whatever your burden is, pick it up today. Take up that cross daily. Daily. And follow me, he said. Well, how do you do all you do? Because I picked up my cross when it was small. I picked it up when it was a little bigger. And a little bigger. And by the way, in case you love this church, in case you love Howells Anderson College, in case you love Hammond Baptist Schools, in case you love this ministry, in case your life has been affected by this ministry, you better thank God this preacher had some cross to pick up while he was young. How do you do all you do? Because I picked up my cross when it was small. And day by day, for these years, I picked it up. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't understand how heavy your cross is going to be someday. Mrs. Howells and I live in the condominium with older people. In fact, we're the young married couple there. But our building is filled with older people. And I often say to Mrs. Howells,
one of the little ladies has gotten to where she can't take care of herself anymore. In fact, this happened 3 or 4 times since we've been there the last year. And they moved to a, what do you call that care? Assisted living. And one of them is moving right now. She must be in her 80s. She has no husband to go with her. She's going to the terminal part of her life, assisted living. She's facing a heartache, unbelievable heartache. In fact, I wept a bit over it myself. You're going to face it one of these days. You're going to face, as I said last Sunday, you're going to face the loss of a child. You're going to face a battle one of these days. You're going to face a heartache. You're going to face the grief. And if you don't crack up, you better pick up whatever load you've got to carry now. And you parents ought to get on your knees at an old-fashioned altar and get right with God and have your kid to have some burden to bear while he's growing up. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm trying to help you. Thank God, I said a while ago, thank God for the depression. We wouldn't have America had we not had a depression. We had a bunch of boys that when they're 10, 12, 13 years old had to find some way to get a job or mow a yard or dig a ditch to help mom and dad pay the bills. They had a burden to pick up, and they kept on and kept on and kept on, and then the war came, and thank God they made us free. Our country wasn't made free by a bunch of rock music, long-haired, lazy hippies. Our country was made free by the very type that crowd hates. You won't all of a sudden win the big battle. You won't all of a sudden bear the heavy load. You won't all of a sudden resist the big temptation. You won't all of a sudden do the big work. You won't all of a sudden carry the heavy cross. You won't all of a sudden pick up the steer. The average, I may get voted out, but I'm old anyway, I would like to retire. I already got my Bermuda shorts and my shuffleboard to go to Florida. Spend the rest of my life. But the honest, simple truth is, we have spoiled rotten our generation. And you think you're doing your kids a favor by being their servants. You boys that have to leave school at 3 o'clock and go get a job. Maybe you can't play on the basketball team because you got to help pay the bills for mama. Don't complain about that. Now, don't understand me. I'm not against the basketball team. I'm against a bunch of lazy, spoiled brats playing on the basketball team. But I'm simply saying, if that is your lot in life, and I'm not saying you ought to shoot your dad so your mom will be a widow, so you can be a man. I'm not saying that at all. But if that is what you have to do, thank God for it. One of my favorite stories. I was in North Carolina. Man walked up to me and said, I have a son in your college. And he said, I've got a problem. Can you help me? Will you help me out with it? And I said, I'll try. What is it? He said, I have saved a lifetime for my son's college education. He said, I've got the money in the bank to pay for my son's education. My boy went to Howells Anderson College. And he said, my boy is leaving college every day and going to work practically all night long. And won't take the money that I've saved. He said, and by the way, I get letters, and you do too often, from parents.
You're working my boy to death.
We have not yet had one fella die at work.
You're working.
Not you women. You can't even get your boy to take out the garbage.
And some of you punks.
I realize this Sunday morning worship service. But
we'll worship tonight. Come back tonight. Some of you punks won't even take the garbage out. And one of these days you're going to face life. And you're going to reach out to pick up that big steer, and you can't pick up that steer because you didn't pick him up while he was little.
So pick up. So this, I have to tell a story. You interrupt me.
This fellow said,
you think you'd have any influence on my boy to make him take the money I've set aside? My boy's working himself to death. And, of course, he said his mother's worried sick. I like what Jim Vineyard said. When these mothers become mothers of teenage boys, put them in the nursery. Have a mothery. Now, Jim Vineyard said that. I punched him out. I said, Jim, you shouldn't have said that. Wait a minute. He said, could you have any influence on my boy so he'll take my money so he won't have to work his way through college? I said, yes, I could. Well, good. I'm glad you're going to. I said, I'm not going to. Well, you said you could. I said, I didn't say I would. Well, what can I do, he asked. I said, go home and look in the mirror and say, thank God I reared a man. I go all over the country preaching for our graduates, and they come to hear me preach. You guys have done the same thing. I hear them talking about the college days, the successful ones. I hear the Bruce Goddards talking about the college days, and the Rick Martins, and all the rest of these guys that are building great churches across America. I hear them talking about the college days. Here's what they say. Now we hear them.
You and I played basketball together all afternoon, didn't we?
Nope. They're saying, are we on the same bus route? By the way, you mothers that say, my little darling out there on the bus route, he may be injured. See that leg right there? That wasn't injured on the bus route. It ain't injured playing. Right? Answer me. Playing. More people are injured playing than working. And more people are injured playing sports while the bus workers are on the routes than are injured on the routes while the other fellows are playing sports. This sermon's not working out like I'd planned it. So, I'm saying, pick up whatever cross you face. Pick it up.
Pick it up daily. And you can bear it as it gets heavier. And one day when this becomes a steer,
you can still pick it up. Because you've been picking up your cross daily all through the year. So, young person, living with rough knocks, thank God for them. Take up your cross daily. Hal's Anderson student having a tough time. I see these girls out yonder go to the college. I see these girls mopping the floors. I see them dusting the window seals. Every once in a while, one of them will say to me, Lyles, I'm embarrassed. And I'll say, don't you be embarrassed. As far as I'm concerned, you're the queens of the college. Don't misunderstand me. Young lady, if your mom and dad pay your way through college, good. But you ought to study twice as hard then. You ought to work twice as hard on a bus route. Or with the Bible clubs. I'm simply saying that it's not going to be possible for you to pick up your cross when it's strong. Or your burden when it's matured. You pick it up while it's young. Young widow, take up your cross daily. Young preacher, take up your cross daily. Person with a serious illness, take up your cross daily. Pick up your cross today and do it every day. And then when the cross is heavy, you can pick it up still. So while he's a little calf, pick him up and pick him up the next day and the next day and the next day. If I had not faced the battles of that little church out yonder on the campus, I could not face the battles here today. If I had not faced the battles with those three men years ago who said you'll never walk in their pulpit, I couldn't have faced the battle when the entire American Baptist Convention of the state of Indiana was after me 40 years ago. The big battles are fought because a person has fought little battles. The big burdens are borne because the person bore little burdens. And the big steers are picked up and carried because the person picked up the calf when it was little and has picked up his cross every day. You heed what I preached this morning and you won't have to crack up when the cross gets heavy. You won't have to crack up when the steer gains weight because you pick it up every day and carry it and every day and carry it. So whatever it is this morning, whatever your burden is, face it. Don't run from it. Face it. Look at it. Pick it up. And keep picking it up. You say, but the house, I could not take what he takes. You don't have to take what he takes. All you got to do is pick up your cross daily. And you could not pick up his cross, and you will not be able to pick up yours when it's that big unless you pick it up every day as it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. So the Savior said, any man will come after me and deny himself and take up his cross 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 daily. And then he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and labor and labor and labor, and I will give you rest and give you rest and give you rest. So whatever size your load is today, pick it up. Whatever size your burden is today, bear it. Whatever size your heartache is today, accept it and take it and lift it. Whatever size your little calf is today, pick it up. And then one day when it's a steer, if you pick it up every day, you'll still be able to bear it. Would you bow your heads, please?